The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about artificial intelligence because we often mention on this show the extent to which it could transform different industries. And one of those is the healthcare industry. In fact, there's been calls for the government to form a regulator to oversee the use of AI in the healthcare system. Joining me to discuss how it can be used in that system, how it's already having an impact, is Alan Smeaton, Professor of Computing at DCU, and Richard Green, who's an obstetrician and gynaecologist, the HSE's Chief Clinical Information Officer. You're both very, very welcome. Richard, if I can start with you, first of all, I mean, I understand because we've spoken to people actually on this front on the show previously that artificial intelligence is already being used in radiology departments, for example.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So there's a number of sites using artificial intelligence to assist diagnosis, really, in radiology departments. But also, it's been used to enhance image acquisition. You know, getting better images from the same amount of radiation or the same amount of power, if you like. So, I mean, one of the tools that's been used, for instance, just to make it real for people is, you know, so you go into an accident and emergency in some sites and you have hurt your ankle or whatever, and there's an x-ray taken of your bones to see if you have a fracture. And the there are tools there that can actually assist the non-specialist doctor. So the doctor who's not a radiologist can actually assist them to enhance their chance of detecting that there is actually a fracture in the x-ray, and therefore appropriate treatment is started immediately. It will still be read by the radiologist. Let's say it happens at night or at the weekend. Mm. It will still be read the following day by the radiologist, but it ensures that the person hasn't gone home with the fracture without the appropriate treatment. So that's just an example of where it's being used at the moment.
And that kind of ultimate human oversight, how important is that in terms of the rollout of this within the HSE?
Well, I mean, any discussions we're having in the HSE and indeed with the Department of Health and indeed the IPOSI citizen jury, they call for it. But we talk about human in the loop all the time. And in fairness, generally in health, the majority of discussions in healthcare where AI is being considered and it's been used much more in other countries that are more advanced digitally than we are, generally there is this whole piece all the time about the final decision being with the human being. So while it can assist the doctor or other clinician like nurse or physiotherapist or whoever to assist them with a diagnosis and to maybe even provide them with advice about a patient, and as we get into predictive kind of analytics in the future, you know, it might be able to help take all the information around that patient from an electronic health record and genetics and everything, and say, well, you should probably be going for that treatment rather than the other one. But ultimately, the doctor and the patient working together will still make the final decision. So the human being involved is very significant, and we're currently drawing up a framework within the HSE. And indeed, we're working on the strategy with the Department of Health. But like within that framework, it's really a framework for adoption and guidance about it. And one of the big pieces that's in that is the human oversight.
Yeah, and I'm sure even on the kind of admin side and operationally, it's going to have an impact. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But I did say Alan Smeaton is with me as well, Professor of Computing at Dublin City University at DCU. Alan, you're welcome to the show. How transformative might all of this be for the healthcare system, this technology?
Good afternoon, Kieran. It's as transformative to healthcare as it is to practically any other aspect of society and industry, from media to transport to entertainment to everything, education and so on. AI is basically causing a huge upheaval in our lives, in almost all aspects of our lives. So it's no surprise that it's having already having a significant impact, as Richard indicated, in the healthcare sphere.
How or to what extent does it need to be regulated?
Yeah, this is the reason for the citizens' jury that we're talking about this afternoon. So healthcare is already starting to creep into, and I use the word creep in a kind of a positive sense, because it's used in prevention. AI is used in prevention by predicting risk modelling and screening systems that we would go through. It's used in detection, as Richard gave an example there, for CT scans or X-rays. It's used in treatment and diagnostics, and it's used in rehabilitation. And while our healthcare systems are extremely well regulated, AI is not. And when you bring in something like this, and which has such a transformative effect, then it's reasonable. It's almost expected that we would examine how it can and should be regulated. And that was what the purpose of the citizens' jury was.
And when it comes to regulation, and this doesn't just apply to the healthcare system, it applies to all regulation across the board. It's about, I guess, trying to hit a sweet spot between protecting consumers, patients in this case, and not stymieing the extent to which the technology can be used either. Yeah. I mean, over-regulation, it's often what the EU gets accused of.
Yeah, and we hear a lot about AI regulation in the context of innovation and new services. But in the case of healthcare, it's regulation with a view to patient safety. And that's the utmost deciding factor. Whereas in other spheres, it's about, you know, it's about opportunity and entrepreneurship and things like that.
How difficult is it to kind of square this circle when you're dealing with a new technology, a technology that's advancing at kind of superhuman speed, it seems, to regulate for it?
Well, one of the things that that Richard mentioned is the human oversight. And there's a vacuum about what people think about how AI can and should be incorporated more and more into our healthcare. It has been incorporated to the present level without almost discussion, without any kind of national or international discussion points. And what the citizens' jury did was that it was an activity which measured and brought together in a very qualitative way what people think about AI. And how it could be regulated. And what the jury came up with was a range of recommendations. But regulation was very strong and central, as was human oversight, the point that Richard made earlier.
Yeah. How can we say that we're going to use AI in the healthcare system when we're still using paper files? So somebody actually, Richard, a few people are making that point. The HSC is still using paper files. They could do it upgrading that before they get carried away with the AI. And I like this one. It's a kind of a suggestion, I think, from the plot of Terminator 4 or 5. I'm not sure what movie they're up to in that franchise. AI will just decide to give us the bad healthcare and get rid of us. Simple as. I mentioned kind of just even from an operation or an admin point of view, Richard, is that having an impact on that side of the business, as it were?
Yeah, I mean, there are things going on. I mean, we actually have a number of studies going on in using robotic AI to actually assist in administrative burden areas. So one project trying to assist with waiting lists by identifying, you know, patients who didn't attend, and actually the robot is essentially doing this out of hours, if you like, and when people are gone home, and making sure that lists are fully assessed and dealt with, and where patients do not turn up, that appropriate letters are set up and everything. Again, the human sends them out in the end, but actually, so that's one example. There's been some interesting work using, I suppose, a lot of the excitement about artificial intelligence has, and Alan is much better at dealing with the theory of and practice of this than I, but it really, I suppose, the likes of ChatGPT and Copilot and these things that are the generative AI that came up a year or two ago is where a lot of the excitement has come in the last couple of years. And there are some examples of where we're trying to use that to, kind of summarize to summarize charts and to summarize information. And indeed, we used it recently in an administrative piece ourselves to do some work. But again, somebody ultimately took responsibility for what was written on the page, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I recently gave ChatGPT a letter from my cardiologist, got it to kind of put it in layman's terms for me. Now, whether the layman's terms made sense or not, I don't know. But I think they did. It seemed to chime with what he told me as I was coming out of anaesthetic. It was a little woozy anyway. When we're talking about AI in healthcare, this is a question really for you, Alan. Are we talking, this is from a listener, are we talking more about machine learning rather than the large language model AI stuff that has gotten popular in recent years?
Yeah, good, great question, listener. We're talking about both because machine learning takes large or small volumes of data and then analyzes that to determine patterns. And then you give this machine learning algorithm new unseen data and it comes up with diagnostics or it comes up with recommendations. And that's the kind of classical AI. And as Richard indicated, the last 2 years have seen the emergence of generative AI, where you take a lot of unseen data, large language models, for example, and then you can generate more. So there's actually two different forms of artificial intelligence now. They're all branded as the one thing. There's the classic stuff for predicting, for diagnostic. It's the stuff that gives you recommendations, for example. And then there's the stuff that generates new content. And this generation of new content, that's the kind of stuff that Richard talked about. So you can take a large amount of doctor's notes and say, rewrite that in a different format or summarize that as you would have done in the letter that you mentioned with ChatGPT.
Or try and make sense of that doctor's handwriting.
Yeah,
we haven't developed an AI that can do that, I'd say.
No, we're very close because these language models don't just take text as input, they take images. So you can scan in that handwritten note and see what it comes up with.
I mean, we could land people on the moon to try and interpret some doctor's handwriting. Anyway, Richard, I'm not even going to give you the opportunity to retort because we're out of time. Richard Green is an obstetrician and gynaecologist, the HSE's Chief Clinical Information Officer, and Alan Speaton, Professor of Computing at Dublin City University. Thank you both very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.